Hello, and welcome to my art update podcast thingy. This is episode 34, Postmortem. Just the usual police tape here. The purpose of this podcast is to update people who know me, that's me, Andrew Woolner, about what's been going on creatively for me over the last week. Of course, some life updates get rolled into that too. So if you don't know me and you've never heard of me and you're just part of the general audience of the internets, well, cross that tape, fuck the police, but you may find a body or two. Actually, oh, before I go on, if this is your first update and you haven't been keeping up with me over the years, I suggest checking out update number one and maybe update number two to bring yourself up to date, at least until this year, before jumping back here. Let me just adjust the microphone. There we go. So, yeah, actually, we're not doing a sort of weekly update this week. Not much happened this week anyway, as you'll find out. This update is for, well, you'll find out. All right, so I did promise more material this episode. Like, I wanted to do some poetry or something, but the pressure of existence continues to bear down on me. Things should get slightly better next week when Hammy goes back to school after the summer holiday, but I have just such a backlog and things keep popping up unexpectedly. I don't really want to get into all the life updates, but as an example, a bunch of stuff from the two Jekyll and Hyde shows, the spring showcase and the one 2 weeks ago, just had to be organized. Some of it had to be, like, the actual physical stuff, like props, costumes, had to be organized, and some of it had to be returned to our storage container, which is separate from the theater. And there was actually so much stuff and nobody available to help me, so I had to ask my friend Harry to come with me with his car to help me with that. Yeah, ensemble members have this way of disappearing into the ether when the show is done. The interns, a subset of that group of ensemble members, are now all popping into my messages with requests for evaluations and reference letters and questions, all with very short deadlines. Yeah, and that's just the theater stuff that's been going on. I did finish the annual report for YTG yesterday. It was due last November, and I will have to take that in to the office next week. So hopefully that big weight will be off my shoulders. I still have a bunch of other paperwork that's years overdue for that that I need to get on top of. On top of that, I've got, I still haven't finished all the bookkeeping, both personal and professional, from the last few months. So that's a bit of stress, and that's just a bit of weight there that's just going on in the background, which is why, well, this update is going to finally be a decent length. I haven't been able to add any artistic flair to it. So today I wanted to talk about the Jekyll and Hyde show and to do a little postmortem. I've divided up what I want to talk about into various sections, and I was going to freestyle it, but then I kind of decided I want to make sure I talked about everything and didn't do too many ums and ahs. So I kind of wrote it out in point form just to give me some structure. I was supposed to record this yesterday. It's now Saturday morning. By the time I had stuff prepared, my mother-in-law was going to visit, and she kind of just shows up between, like, in a 3-4 hour window. So I didn't want to be in the middle of it when she walked in. So I put it off to the evening, and then I was just too bagged. So that's why I'm doing it now. Okay, so Jekyll and Hyde postmortem. Okay, so I'm going to break this down into certain categories, and I'm going to talk about what worked, what didn't work, and what I could maybe change. So what worked process-wise? And this is important. Process is really the biggest part of it. The process is why I do this. But what worked? People encouraging each other and being positive. People were actually, the group was very good at that, sometimes to a fault. Inclusivity. I think everybody felt included, except with one exception, which I'll maybe talk about in a bit. Group cohesion was pretty high, like to the point where when we were adding new people in the last, 10 days, they were just boop, popping into place, and it was great. Idea generation, we actually did generate a lot of ideas after a lot of shows where only, one or two people would regularly bring ideas in, and one of those one or two people was always me. It was good to have a group that was able to actually generate stuff. And we, thanks to Mike, my my Dutch intern, who is also a theater director and educator, we had this thing, and I think I'll do this now for every group from now on, called a social contract, where we sort of by consensus laid out the rules for the process. So things like everybody gets one veto that they can use, but also, you know, we don't say no to an idea without having an alternative. I mean, maybe that wasn't one, but stuff like that. Basically sort of operating guidelines for the group. The difficulty is because we bring people in late to the process and they don't get necessarily exposed to this and they don't get a chance to sort of participate in forming it. That is a bit of an issue, but I really like the idea of this. I think social contract is the wrong word. That's what Mike called it. But this sort of, these operating guidelines, I think I prefer that term better. That was really good. And I will be thinking about that for next time. Yeah. All right. What didn't work? Okay. This is a long list because while this process, it's the first time I've had a big group in 4 years. And it's really just the second time I've worked with such a big group and had such an open process. So yeah, here are my thoughts on that. My question is, was it too open? Some members were always pushing for more structure, which meant that they were sort of jumping the gun on steps of the process that I prefer to leave to later. Like they were like, okay, now we need to decide on a story. Now we need some structure. Now we need, what's this? And we're talking, I would probably leave it too late, but they were doing it way too early. We're talking like, you know, we started this process at the beginning of June, and by the third week, they were trying to do this stuff. And I was like, I don't think we've got enough ideas on the table. Like, we haven't devised any scenes that we actually think are going to be in the show. But they were already going into, okay, let's make a mind map of themes, which is fine to make a mind map of themes. But then it was like, now we have to choose some. And I was like, it's too soon to choose them. Let's find something with all of these and like bring them back in. Anyway, so I feel like so maybe I should have pushed back harder there. Another issue. I like to eliminate hierarchy. I talked about this in an earlier podcast, and I still want to go into a big discussion on this. And yeah, in 2019, this worked amazingly well. Again, I'm comparing it to 2019 to the Antigone cast because that was the last time we also had like a giant group of people. The other years we had like a bunch of people, but the ensemble was usually like four to five members. Like I think it's been, yeah. So it's hard to compare, and there's less hierarchy when you've only got four people. Lack of hierarchy actually turned out to be a bit of a problem when there's a lack of respect for experience. What do I mean by that? Well, you had a lot of ensemble members who had a lot of confidence. So a bunch of like early 20 somethings who had like so much confidence, which on one hand is great because a lot of them, that meant they had some training and they were able to do things that you can't necessarily take for granted in a group like this. But there was a real sort of lack of humility. And I felt, so I feel like the artistic process, and again, this is a whole other podcast, but I think art, like, I mean, you have to be confident to be able to put your ideas out there, but I still think there's a certain degree of humility and self-doubt, I think, is a big important process, especially when you're working in a group. You have to be able to say, you know, is this a good idea? And it's fine later if you come to the conclusion that, yes, this is a solid idea, but I think you have to have the humility to say, I might be wrong. And there was a real lack of humility in this group. And I felt then so that my own self-doubt was sometimes weaponized against me when we were in discussions about like what to do and what to include, right? Because I like this sort of contemplative process, and everybody else was, like I said before, there was this level of confidence, but also this sort of level of like wanting to jump ahead on the process, wanting to make hard decisions. I mean, solid decisions, firm decisions. this word I want to use. And I felt like the group was pushing towards that when I wanted things more open, but my leaving my own ideas more open meant they kind of got trampled. And yeah, and there was just no respect. There were two of us in that room who had more than like 15 years of experience creating theater. And I felt like there was sort of, you know, no deference is the wrong word. Because again, I'm trying to eliminate hierarchy, but the hierarchy is based on, I'm trying to eliminate hierarchies that are based on just structure and have hierarchies develop normally over sort of expertise, right? So someone who's like got a lot of lighting design experience, we can have ideas and challenge their ideas, but at the end of the day, we realize that this person is probably going to, you know, probably knows things that we don't. And so I just didn't feel like there was that for me and Mike. I think we both felt like we were trampled a lot by the group. Because it's just this confidence level. This didn't exist with the Antigone cast. But we had, I think we had fewer experienced people in that group, so that might have had something to do with it. But there was a bit more openness in that group in terms of like, I think everyone was doing this kind of crazy thing for the first time, and that might have helped. I don't know, but that, yeah. Voting. The group, this is another sort of part of this. The group really liked to vote on things before I thought it was time to decide things. Let's vote on a theme. Let's vote on structure. You know, I feel like these things reveal themselves and become apparent. And I don't know, I feel like part of my role in the process is to actually to be the one to be able to say, okay, here are these ideas that you guys have had that we've had together, and these are starting to coalesce. Why don't we just sort of focus on this for a while? And, you know, again, still not focus on making a decision, but sometimes then you focus on this like group of scenes that seems to go together, and the story blooms, or the structure blooms from that. So yeah, they like to vote. And I felt like that was, you know, calling of, it wasn't the fact that they like to vote. It was that they like to call votes. And especially because we talked at our social contract about this process being very consensus-based, voting's not consensus, right? Consensus means everyone agrees. And I felt like voting was sometimes pushing decisions before there was consensus. And like, yeah, you know what? You'll never have unanimity. We had a couple people in the group who, including me, who were not going to agree on certain things. But anyway, they also like to vote on items as a group that were better left to a subgroup or major stakeholders. Left to a subgroup, and they like to do this sometimes without having major stakeholders present. So, for instance, they took a vote on publicity images on a day that I wasn't there, and there were two of us producing these images. And that was kind of, and they did that a couple times where there were just sort of major decisions made, and it's fine. Like, you know, sometimes members aren't there. If you're like, you're not there, too bad. But like when you actually are missing a major stakeholder, that is a problem. So And like I said, voting doesn't feel like consensus, right? It feels, what's the word I'm looking for? It feels confrontational in a way that I wasn't comfortable with. So I didn't think calling votes was a good idea. Even when I won the vote, even when my idea won, it didn't feel like consensus. So I think I'm going to... Yeah, anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. Anyway, Mike and I ended up having to put on... So yeah, because of the way the process went and because it was so rough in some ways, Mike and I ended up having to put on like the real director's hats going into the final 10 days or so, which felt really weird after having such an open process. You know, one of the reasons... Okay, and this is really personal, but one of the reasons I like to flatten the hierarchy is because I don't want to be the boss who everybody hates, right? You know, I don't want to be separated from the group by the title of director. You know, I'm not getting paid, And I didn't like that when I did like regular theater. And, you know, when I had to take on that, so when I was forced to take on this role, I felt like I was separated from the rest of the team. They started, you know, they are already doing stuff without me because they've got, you know, as interns and young people like on school break, especially in the last sort of couple of weeks, they were able to go off and do things together that, you know, I wasn't not necessarily able to participate in, because, you know, I unfortunately have a life. I've got things to take care of at home, but it also meant that like I was adding the director level sort of added to that. Again, this didn't happen with Antigone. This is sort of like, yeah, because I didn't play the director role in Antigone. Actually, Judy was the director, but she was so sort of soft and I mean, that one really was a consensus-based process, I felt. Although there was a lot more direction from Judy and myself, but we weren't in the director chair, if that makes any sense. It was much more, we were much more part of the ensemble. I was almost there, I felt like in an advisory role, which let me not be separated from the main group, the main ensemble. Anyway, that's what didn't work. Okay, so what to change? I mean, do I need to add some hierarchy? I mean, is this the George Orwell? This is the Animal Farm. All animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I think I have to maintain, I think something I do have to do is maintain some aspects of hierarchy based on stakeholding, right? Because so production decisions that I like, because this is a thing, I'm the only one who's going to be doing the next show, right? I'm the permanent person. I'm a stakeholder in the fact that I've got to live with whatever gets produced. So I feel like the production decisions, like publicity images, at the end of the day are my call. There can be input and there can be discussions, but at the end of the day, I feel like it's really going to be it. I had to make it clear at the beginning. And I thought I had in terms of production stuff when I said, yeah, there's no hierarchy, but I am at the end of the day, I have the producer role and I have got to say yes or no on things that affect like the bottom line, YTG's reputation, blah, 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 blah. I'm in charge of the company's image and reputation, and I can't delegate those decisions to a group that doesn't have a long-term investment in the company. So yeah. Anyway, I hate having to explicitly insert hierarchy back into the process. So I don't know. I mean, was this your, I mean, do I need to do that? Was this your glitch? This whole setup worked well with the 2019 Antigone team, but were they a fluke? Was this group a fluke? I don't know. So I still need to do more thinking about this. Maybe I'll do some thinking out loud on a future podcast. I don't know. Okay. What worked? Tech. That's what didn't work. Department heads. Okay. Yeah. Department heads really embraced their job. I accidentally wrote all these things that didn't work. Department heads and really embraced their jobs. That was really great. Actually, tech was probably one of the weakest parts about this show. There's a lot sort of done last minute. What did work? Some nice stage images. The projections, I think, for the most part, conceptually worked. Robin created some very striking images, particularly for Act One, that I thought were amazing. And some floor project, a few floor projections for Act Two that I thought just really simple things like lines that I thought were really nice. Yes, using projections 10 out of 10 will do again. And yeah, this was the front projection thing actually didn't work too badly. We can sort of controlled where the shadows were, and sometimes we got pretty amazing shadow effects, on the actors. So that worked. Lights, I mean, for the most part, the cues ran smoothly. A few normal sort of cue glitches, but actually the number of cues we had, things went pretty smoothly. The sound design was amazing. Chris really knocked it out of the park, and a lot of that last minute, literally mixing sound sort of before the first performance. Yeah, I mean, he is a Renaissance man in that respect. Okay. Yeah, so not much else to say about what worked there. The things that worked really worked. What didn't work? We didn't have enough technicians. Just there were too many of us doing double duty, not just on technical side. So I was running live audio and live stream audio, which is not easy. But also, like, you know, Kendall and Chris were also in the performance, so they had to crawl out of their stations and get onto stage. That worked okay for Chris because it was like literally just pushing a button. It worked less well for Kendall because then I was suddenly managing three stations. And I mean, it still worked, but yeah. Oh, and then I had to go on stage at one point. And yeah, the sound mixing for that, I had Kendall doing it, and it was not great, which is fair. He's never done it before, but like I had literally nobody else to put on that. Because we were sitting together, and there we didn't have enough hands. Matthew was supposed to come out and help us on this show again, like he did on the showcase, amazingly. But I mean, he did it amazingly. He did an amazing job. But unfortunately, his work changed, and he wasn't able to make it, which left us kind of without a stage manager kind of figure. We decided on the stage setup too late. And just like what we did with... we ended up splitting the show into two parts. Mike and I couldn't compromise on vision, so we split the show, which makes sense. I mean, the show's about duality, Jekyll and Hyde, so that made sense. But we also couldn't decide on how to set up the stage. He wanted like an alley staging. I wanted to try something like more weird than that. I wanted it's almost like a pointy thrust. So to have basically take the alley stage and bring two points, so the audience is facing each other, but then bring the two corners in. So it's like it goes to a point, and that point is only like a meter and a half across, basically enough for sort of two people to stand side by side. And so the idea is that the energy of the stage gets focused into that point, and so you can drop someone there and really make them a focal point of the scene. But at the same time, you can do then flat composition on the other side. So I had a lot of scenes would start with very flat composition, and then the actors would come forward into the space between the audience, between the seating, and make a more sort of three-dimensional thing. And the idea, I mean, just visually for that, the idea was Utterson coming to the realization that their sort of stereotypes were wrong. And so you have a flat image, and then you have like, you know, there's more depth to it. There's more nuance. Anyway, I should say that actually worked. That actually worked very well. The two stage setups both served the show really well, but that meant that we decided on the stage setup too late. And moving the audience area was sort of really hard because basically we had to kick the audience out at intermission and then shift the audience risers into position for the second act. And I think we did a little bit of damage to the floor on that, but it meant that we couldn't tape all the cables down that we needed to tape down because they literally moved. So that caused a lot of problems. The first act was finished too late as well, so I feel like we got the scraps of light that were left over after all the thought for lighting design went into act two. Like, I literally had parts of the stage I couldn't light. Like, I was like, I kind of need a light here, and there was literally no light pointing there. I didn't get to try my lighting by projector idea, which probably would have solved that problem. Robin was so hyper-focused on creating, like, flat projection images that were amazing, but didn't necessarily solve my problems. Sometimes, like, they would go for like an image, like a drawn image or photographic image, when I had wanted sort of more geometric shapes sometimes. So yeah. What else? We just had a lack of specialists. So we had lighting and sound design specialists. That was Chris. That was the same one person. We had Robin, who was an artist and also really good at computer logic, because Isadora really requires a lot of that. But other than that, Robin wasn't technical. So if there was a glitch with one of the projectors, suddenly I'm pulled off whatever I'm doing and I have to go troubleshoot it. And it's usually, you know, just something like a loose cable or something annoying like that. And we had lots. So there were lots of technical issues that sort of fell on a small number of ensemble members. Mostly me and Chris were the ones solving, having to like troubleshoot and solve problems. For a show like this, we need a dedicated audio person. This is twice now I've done the mix, The in-room audio was fucking terrible because I was mixing from pots. So the two boards that the venue owns are trash. Like, they just don't, one doesn't output on the right channel, one doesn't output on the left channel. And those are the ones that have separate mixes for monitors. And like, so my plan was to have a board where I mix, because the mics do not go to the in-room audio, so they can be on a separate board and then mix into the live stream video mixer. And the problem is, in the end, I only had one functioning board, which is the YTG board. So I couldn't mix. I was going to mix the mics on one board, and I was going to mix the audio coming from the queuing system on the other. So that, because, you know, the audio from the queuing system goes out to the speakers as well as going into the live stream. I was going to put them two separate inputs into the live stream video mixer, and that was going to be that. But I couldn't. I didn't have, I only had one mixer that would actually output on both channels. So I actually had to mix from the audio from the pots, which meant that I was basically, I had the volume mostly cranked on the microphones. I couldn't use the sliders though. So, you know, when something would happen loudly, I'd have to grab, so the pots are the dials on the top of the mixer as opposed to the sliders. So I'd have to grab the gain on all of those and just crank them to the left. But obviously you can grab a bunch of sliders and pull them all down at once, but you can only do two pots at a time. You can only turn two dials with your fingers at a time. So that was a big problem for mixing. And also, I am just not an audio mixer. Mic and camera placement were an afterthought. I still don't know where I could have put the mics to like better capture the audio. Yeah, that's it. I said moving the audience area was really hard. And actually, if we had more performances than we did, we probably would have damaged the floor significantly. I should also add here, I guess this is technical, that we had six performances, which was fine when I thought the show was 45 minutes long. And we've done that before with like a 45 minute show, like a show that's under an hour. This show was almost 2 hours, including intermission. And that was just, the actors were exhausted. I was exhausted. I don't know what else I could have done. I set the show times and dates and started selling tickets before we knew how long the show was going to be. And, because I'd misheard, right? Even after we decided to split into two acts, I asked Mike how long he thought his section would be. And he said what I thought was 15 minutes, like 1:05, but he'd said 50 minutes. So I hadn't done the math properly in my head. So I knew it was, it was going to be a long show and I didn't know it. Okay. What I could change. I think I will try to set the show times more conservatively. I was trying to get two watchable shows in each time zone. I think I will aim for one next time. With no stage manager or house manager, we really need a clear start procedure. There were a couple times the show started and I wasn't ready. Which was a problem because I was the one sending the audio to the live stream and I had everything with either turned off or turned too high or whatever. So we had no stage manager. We had no house manager. So we came up with something new, like from the third show, but in future, that's something we should document. And I don't know what else I could change. It's not like I didn't try to get more technicians. We had two people not able to come who we'd expected. We'd hoped to be able to be there. We'd also expected Marie to be in town to help us with wardrobe. And Jack, who was supposed to do sound. Well, not supposed to do sound. I'd asked him to do sound and shit. There goes an alarm in the background. Ignore that. He just wasn't available. Okay, so what did work? Sorry, but I'm jumping ahead. So performance. What worked? Striking images, like I said before. We had on-time starts within 5 minutes of showtime. We were really timely, which is really important when you have a live stream audience because they're just waiting at home. They don't know like what's going on. They don't know that like there's five people waiting for the toilet, blah, blah, blah. It was harder starting up after intermission. But I think we still mostly start on time. And Act Two, very, very solid. I was very happy with Act Two. I was really happy with Act Two. What didn't work, performance-wise, Spoken voice is way too soft in general, but especially for Act One. We needed to do a voice warm-up. In fact, the group should have been doing warm-ups before the show, but I mean, yeah, that's one of those things that falls by the wayside when you're super busy and you have a lot of props to check and costumes. What didn't work? Nobody would take responsibility for the choreography, even when like I asked. I would say, hey, can you, you know how to do this. Can you please teach the others? And then like then I would watch the next rehearsal or performance and it wouldn't have happened. So I'm teaching the, and we're talking choreo, like just how to do a particular kind of step to look a certain way. And just no one, I kept sort of giving the task to people and no one would do it. So that moment at the end where everybody walks off was supposed to be synchronized and was supposed to be this very like dancey type step that the boat woman was supposed to be doing the whole show. But yeah, Act One, I mean, just in general, we needed another week with Act One. I know I always say that kind of thing, but like we needed another week. It was just too, it was too loose. Ensemble members, I mean, the group grew into it as the show progressed, but I think we could have done better with another week. Ensemble members were not properly checking their props and costumes, which this caused delays in things happening, coming on. Lots of backstage noises with both acts and like backstage collisions. You know, one time I went backstage for my single entrance and there was like a stepladder completely blocking the wing. Like I couldn't, like I had to sort of, and then when I got to the other side of the stepladder, the props that I was supposed to take on were missing because nobody had reset them after the last performance. I ended up actually, yeah, so that's a point. I was on stage. I ended up having to go on stage because, you know, I think we had, with 2 days, I finally brought in the song. I'd actually posted the song before that, but yeah, nobody was willing to sort of learn the song in 2 days. And it's not, if you've watched the performance, you'll know it's not a difficult song. And yeah, most of Act One was just completely under rehearsed. So what I could change, what to change, make a bigger deal of props checks. I don't know. I thought I was making a pretty big deal. I thought Mike was making a pretty big deal of the props checks. But the fact is, leaving it all to ensemble members, this has been a problem on other shows as well. And the spring show too, you know, Marie was there and doing all the props checks because nobody else was really doing it. Yeah, I mean, just like, so like for that, we need someone to be accountable for the props and not necessarily to do it themselves, but to hold everybody else accountable. We need more sort of, I don't know if it needs to be an ensemble member. Maybe it just needs to be, I think we just need more outside people. We need more sort of stagecrafty people to come in. We need props tables, which was kind of impossible with the setup we had with the moving thing. We just was no place to sort of, no one was willing to sort of tape it out and put props where they needed to be. Really needed someone in the SM role, in the stage management role, because when the cast is this big, you really need that. And I don't know what the solution is to that, because those are, of course, stage managers are the hardest people to find, and anyone local is not going to be available during the day when we rehearse. So, yeah. I feel like we almost need to have two production weeks leading up to the show. But this happens because I get pulled in so many directions, right? In production week, I'm handling a lot of the tech stuff myself, a lot of the setup this time, especially like the audio setup, the camera setup, all that stuff I'm handling. I don't have time to work with the actors. Mike was good. He carved out time for me to do that. But then I was like behind on other stuff. I should say I didn't pull an all-nighter on this show. Chris did, poor guy. But this is actually the first show since Antigone where I didn't pull an all-nighter. Antigone was my first all-nighter for a YTG show. And I've been doing all-nighters at least once per show since then. And this was the first show I didn't do. I had a lot of late nights, a lot of last trains, but I always made it home. So I should say that was actually good. Yeah. But two intense weeks before the show. So, I mean, we can't get the space. We can't do two production weeks. We're never going to get the space dedicated to us for 2 weeks. But I feel like we need like an equity week, so to speak, where So if production week is tech week, basically, then we need a week before that where we're just there like 12 hours a day, but like, yeah, a lot longer. We do some, yeah, almost 12 hours a day. We're there from like 10 to whatever, just hacking away at the final rehearsal stuff. And also then I think finding props. So that would require almost finding an alternate space to do that in, and a space where we could like leave stuff. So I don't know. I'll have to give that some thought. Okay. Right. What worked with artistic expression? So this is separate from performance, because performance includes a lot of the sort of technical elements of performance. What worked? I finally got that class/revolution thing out on stage. Got to do some world building, some proper world building. Worked out the shape of a story that I think I can move ahead on in the future. What didn't work artistic expression wise was had to leave a lot of scenes out that I had conceived of, because there was just no way to do them in the time that we had, or we had them and they just didn't work, so we cut them. I say this almost every time, but I would like another go at this, starting from the place where the piece is now. And I'm really considering trying to do this again, like next year for the summer show, because there's no showcase time next year. So maybe if we did this as the summer show, but that's hard because you're bringing a whole new group of people in, and that means you're doing a lot more. It's not the same sort of spirit of the project as we normally do, where we start from scratch almost. I really think I could turn this into a level of theater that's similar to the Peony Lantern, where I think, well, that also wasn't a finished show. I've got the structure there that will let me, like, I could pitch that. I could show that to people. I could pitch it. I could say, we could tour this to you. So I think Jekyll's not there yet. The first act, I should specify this. I'm talking about the first act, since that was, the second act was more, that was Mike directing that. And I helped with that occasionally, but that was not about that. That second part didn't have, that wasn't what I wanted to express with the piece. So I'm talking about act one. I don't think I can do it next year, partly because that kind of, I mean, next year would be the perfect time to do it because there's no spring showcase. And so we maybe have less time to sort of think about an idea, but I am not sure the audience will watch a third Jekyll and Hyde so close to the first one, right? Like do Jekyll and Hyde three times in a row. I don't know. I'm really tempted. Yeah. What to change? So I've got to find more time to just be able to think between rehearsals. I've got to somehow find a way of eliminating all the crap I have to do. All the hustling for freelance gigs that I have to do between rehearsals. It's just too much. Like I said, maybe 2 weeks leading into production week. I don't know how to do that. And I mean, I just don't know in general. This group was just really challenging to work with. Just really extremely challenging to work with. I like them all individually. As a group, it was difficult. It was really difficult. And I don't know how to fix that. Anyway, so those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts right now about the show. Wow, 38 minutes, Jesus. Thank you for bearing with me on that for like the longest one of these episodes I've done. So yeah, I'm going to think about this. And I think that's it this week for me. So I'll catch you next week if this hasn't completely turned you off these podcasts. And Andrew out.